Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
With so many of us at home, plus the complications of grocery shopping at the moment, we have a new collective dilemma. How do we cook and prepare meals day after day with what we've got in our cupboards? Especially now, cooking, comforts, food, sharing our favorites with the people we love, it feels really important. So this afternoon, we invite you to our kitchen table, and we want to hear about yours. What are you preparing? What are you cooking, baking while you're at home? Any recipes from what you had on the shelf already that you're particularly proud of? Share your favorites. Ask your questions. Call us. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And joining us from her table is fellow New Englander Dori Greenspan. She is a, get this, 5-time James Beard Award-winning author. Her latest cookbook is Everyday Dori, which is a collection of simple, delicious recipes that don't require special skills or new gear to make. Dori Greenspan has written 12 other cookbooks, including the bestsellers Around My French Table and Baking with Julia, and she writes a column for the New York Times Magazine. We are lucky to have her join us today. Dori, welcome back to Radio Boston.
I'm so happy to be, actually, I'm in my kitchen.
Perfect.
Yes, I'm leaning against the kitchen counter, and I'm glad to have you all with me. Thank you for visiting.
Absolutely. Well, Dori, you get it. This is how we feel, too. We feel like we're all at the big kitchen table together, and let's talk about what we're cooking during these extraordinary circumstances. So let me just start by asking you, how are you? How are you faring these days?
I'm doing okay. I consider myself very lucky, and I'm holding on to wood as I say this, because I'm home with my husband and our son and daughter-in-law who live in New York City have come to live with us. So it's a very odd, surreal, dark time, and yet lovely that our family is together. So how are you doing?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. I was thinking about this last night. Long story short, I was up at like 1:30 in the morning for a minute, and my son came shuffling into the kitchen. He's a teenager, and he was hungry, and he just wanted me to make him something. So we did the ever fancy Ritz crackers and peanut butter and wound up talking for a little bit, and it just made me think about how important it is to be in the kitchen with family at this time.
Yes. You know, always been true. I always talk about the joy of making something with your hands and being able to share it. And you and I, are lucky because we have family with us. Many of my friends are alone now. But I'm encouraging them to cook. No matter what, whether you're with family or you're alone, there's something really satisfying, deeply, deeply satisfying about cooking, transforming ingredients, making something that's delicious.
In a moment, I'm going to ask Dori what's in her pantry. We want to know what's in yours, too. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What are you turning to for comfort? What are you cooking? Or what are you making stretch in these very difficult financial times? Dori, what's in your fridge and in your cupboard or pantry right now?
Well, I'm laughing because today I got, quite by accident, a gallon of Thai sweet chili sauce.
How do you do that by accident?
I pressed the wrong button.
Got it.
So I am hoping that my neighbors like Thai sweet chili sauce because I have enough for the entire block and then some. And I'm going to be sharing that with a recipe so that they'll know what to do with it. But in my cupboard, you know, I have pretty much what I always have. I have spices. I have flour. I feel like I'm very lucky to have flour since that's been, the supermarket shelves have been bare.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Of flour. And yeah, I just brought flour over to a neighbor who had never baked bread before and thought this was the time she would like to start, but she had neither flour nor yeast, so I brought her some. I have lots of vinegars. I have I think of my refrigerator door as part of my pantry. I've always kept a lot of condiments, lots of mustard, lots of Asian chili pastes, things that can make something, can just lift something, so that even if it's a very simple pasta dish, a little bit of spice, a little bit of heat, can really change the flavors and make them more exciting. And so I often shop my refrigerator door when I'm cooking.
So, Dori, I think we've got callers who want to talk to you. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Ellen from Brookline, you are on with Dori.
Hi, Dori.
Hi, Ellen.
For the very first time in my entire lifetime, I made chicken parmesan, and the only reason I started with chicken was because I was never independently wealthy enough to afford veal. But it came out fantastic. I just made it on Wednesday, and I had some full for lunch today.
Isn't that great? It was delicious, and that you can have a second meal out of it. Do you know what I like? I like chicken parmesan without the parmesan. So sometimes
I use mozzarella cheese. I don't even use parmesan.
Yeah, but next time if you want to change it up, why don't you make it and just squeeze some lemon juice over it and put your green salad on top of the chicken. It's a really nice dish. It goes from chicken parmesan to being called chicken milanese. So it goes kind of
confused. What juice do I put on? I put on it before I put the salad on top of it or something? What?
Lemon. Some lemon juice.
Oh, wine. Okay.
No.
I bet you could use wine,
Ellen. I'm a big fan of putting wine on most things. But I think Dori was telling you to put some lemon juice on it before put the salad on.
Yeah.
Oh, lemon juice gives everything punch. Sure, yeah. Lemon juice, yeah.
But Ellen, I'm with you. I think if you have a lemon and you have salt, you can make probably anything except chocolate chip cookies taste better.
So, Ellen, we're going to wish you well, and I hope you'll call back and let us know if you try it with lemon juice and salad. We've got Shayna on the line now. Let me put the number out again for other callers, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to share your cooking successes in this area of seriously being at home with Dori Greenspan. Shayna, you're on with Dori. Shayna's from Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I hope you're good, too.
Good, thanks. I am. Hanging in there during this craziness. I just wanted to let you guys know my pantry is stocked. In February, I made my twice-a-year purchase from Rancho Gordo. They do amazing heirloom beans. Yeah, yep. So I have, 10 pounds of beans in my cupboard right now. And along with, cans of tomatoes, greens. I'm in good shape.
So, Dori,
there's a new book, and you can find several of the recipes from it online. It's by Joe Yonan, who's the food editor of the Washington Post, and it's called Cool Beans. Cool Beans, yep. And it's just great bean recipes, some traditional, so many of them surprising. And you were really smart to get your Rancho Gordo order in. I was late, and so mine will be here next week. I've been waiting for it, but those are delicious. Those are great beans. And beans will hold you through soup, a casserole, in a salad, with greens. Beans are really, I think a lot of people will be learning to love beans now, and that would be a good thing to come out of this.
All right, so we're going to say goodbye to Shayna, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Now we've got Emily on from Easton. Emily, you're on with Dori Greenspan. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Emily. We're homeschoolers, so we're home. Hi, sorry. We're home a lot anyway, so I'm used to cooking for the family. We do a lot with frozen vegetables, rice, frozen meatballs, things that are quick to grab and easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
So, Emily, do you, as a homeschooler, is cooking a way that you can incorporate lessons for your kids? Is the kitchen a piece of how you teach?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They make their breakfast on their own and know how to make eggs, and they do a lot.
So, Dori, what about that? What can we learn from being in the kitchen together?
It's interesting. Sometimes I think we can learn patience, first of all, because cooking is usually not instantaneous. But three cheers for you, Emily, because you're really juggling a lot. I think that there's a lot to learn. There's a way of organizing when you put all of your ingredients out, when you get ready to cook. There's a way to learn about cleaning up after yourself, cleaning after you do something. There are, of course, fractions and things to learn. And there are just the techniques of stirring. Cooking takes all of your senses. So as a cook, you're looking to see how things change. You're even listening to how something sizzles if you're sautéing. You can feel something to tell if it's done. And, of course, we get to smell and taste it. So I think there are hundreds of lessons. You just need to bring your children into the kitchen and let them learn with you.
So 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Dorothea is on the line from Manchester, New Hampshire. Do you have a question, Dorothea?
I do. I have tried over and over to make bread and pretty much given up. And I'm thinking, at these times, I need to learn. Do you have any suggestions? Because when I mix my bread and ask it to rise, it just kind of sits there.
So Dorothea, I'm going to step in first because I make a lot of bread recipes. I'm a big fan of it. And often what happens for me is if I'm not careful and the salt comes in contact with the yeast too early on, we get what in my house is called a disaster loaf. Now, I confess we then eat said disaster loaf, and it's kind of like this really dense floury thing. But Dori, maybe. Yeah, exactly. And they're actually still kind of tasty, just not very pretty. But Dori, is there a go-to bread recipe that you like or a bread cookbook that you like that you would recommend for people who are trying to, you know, enhance their bread making skills? I know that's quite popular right now with people at home.
It's so popular. So my husband is the bread baker. I do the fancy breads. I do brioche. Or I do a challah or a rich egg bread. But it's the no-knead bread. It's the famous no-knead bread that's really, you can find it online everywhere. It was Jim Leahy's recipe and Mark Bittman made it popular. If you can master that, then you get to play around. You get to play around with different grains. You get to play around with the way you add things to it. Bread is not meat. So, Tiziana, your advice is good. But the salt that you talked about, the salt is really, really important. That will impede rising. And are you using instant yeast?
I actually think we lost Dorothea, so why don't you just tell her the lesson about instant yeast?
Well, instant yeast is... You can abuse instant yeast more than you can other yeast, and so
Excellent.
You have to be careful with regular yeast. Yeah, be careful with temperature.
So
you don't want it to be too hot. The water to be too hot.
So Dori, one of the things that we lose in talking about cooking now that in the age of social distancing, you and I can't be in the same room, is I can't eat anything you've made, which I feel cheated out of something delicious, but I do
understand. And I can't give it to you.
I know.
It makes me feel like half of the equation is missing.
Exactly. But I do understand that you actually just pulled something out of the oven, and I thought maybe you could taste it and tell us about it.
Oh, well, actually, now would be the perfect time because it's the right temperature.
Excellent.
So I am working on a new cookbook on a baking. Wait, let me just get a fork out of here. Okay. I'm working on a new baking cookbook, and I am making a tarte tatin, which is essentially an upside-down apple pie and apple tart. And this is my third try in as many days, I've made tart tatin before. I have a recipe for it in baking from my home to yours, but I had a new idea about how to do it, a way of caramelizing the apples first. And so that's what I've been trying. And may I really talk with a mouthful?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just, while you take your bite, I will tell you that the idea of having caramelized apples right now makes me feel particularly cheated out of not being able to try your creation. How is it there?
So I'm going to have to do it again. The apples are because the apples are really good, but they're too soft. However, I changed my crust. I'm making this with an all-butter pie crust, which is not at all French nor traditional. And boy, is that good.
So you like it with the all-butter crust?
I do. I really do. Often it's done with puff pastry. And I think with this crust against the apples that are too soft but won't be next time, I hope, this is on its way. Test form might be it.
So let me just ask you.
I wish you were here.
I know, I do too. In our last 30 seconds, Dory, what might make the apples less soft next time?
Oh, I could cook them less.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
I bake them for a very long time. I think they could take with less heat. They'd be fine with less heat.
Well, Dory Greenspan is a 5-time James Beard Award-winning author. Her latest cookbook is Everyday Dory. She writes a column for the New York Times Magazine. It has been such a treat to have you. Thanks for joining us today.
Next time in real life in person.
I cannot wait. I can't wait to taste the apples.